then also maybe one that's not in your bulletin. I'll lead, will be second. First of all, we just know that today is Mission Sunday. You say, well, Pastor, what is Mission Sunday? Well, today's going to be all about missions, of course. So we've asked you to consider prayerfully over the last several weeks. If you'd like to give a love offering toward the missionaries that will be here this morning, the Thornton family and the Frausto family tonight, and they are in South Africa as missionaries. And we're making preparations, and to the best of my knowledge, it may be the first for this church, so you can correct me later if I'm wrong, but we're going to be having a missions conference next year. So April the 29th, and we'll start announcing this, April the 29th, which is a Wednesday, through May the 3rd, which is a Sunday, we're going to have a special meeting each night. We're going to have missionaries in every night during that time. It's going to be all about, again, introducing our family to new missionaries. We're going to have a big emphasis on church planting. Here's what we need to understand, the importance of it. I've noticed since I've been here that they're building up all over the valley. And every exit they're building up, there's things that they add, like grocery stores, hardware stores, pharmacies, Walgreens, things like that, because the city's growing. Those areas need those things. And guess what? That also means communities are growing, not just in Arizona, but other parts of the U.S., and we need more local churches established. We need churches that are struggling to be revived and thriving and going on so we can get the word of God out. So we're going to have a mixture, but a main emphasis on church planting in America, but also hopefully at least one foreign missionary. So mark your calendar for April the 29th through May the 3rd. That's a Wednesday through Sunday. And we'll either have an international banquet on that Saturday or Sunday afternoon. I haven't decided yet. We're working on that, getting folks that would like to be involved in helping that area. But today is just one day with a mission emphasis for us to be, again, reminded about missions. Your pastor has a heart for missions. I've served in missions almost 30 years, have a desire to still see missionaries go out, churches started. And if you look in your Bible, this is my opinion, my thoughts, but I think the very first picture of what missions is all about in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, after the fall of man, God did not have to ask Adam where he was because he knew where he was. But he called out, he said, Adam, where art thou? He knew that he had fallen in sin, but he let Adam confess his sin and tell him the reasons why he knew he was naked and ashamed. I said it's a beautiful picture of salvation. It's a beautiful picture of missions. And that's what it's all about, is making sure that others have an opportunity to hear what we've heard multiple times in here on a weekly basis here at Harvest Baptist Church, the need for people to come to know Christ. So today will be about missions. Any offering you give above your regular tithe will go toward our two missionaries, the Thornton family this morning, the Frausto family tonight. And then I will give you the names, and we're going to build a bio, let you see these missionaries will be with us. We'll start pushing that in sometime in February so you can see their face. When they come in, I want you to be able to call mom and dad by name, the kids by name, and know who they are because you'll have seen their picture, so they know we have been praying and expecting them. We'll also have some other projects to get involved and maybe finding out some needs and how we can help them in meeting their needs and pray for them. So I'll be announcing more to that. And this is something I'm going to do every year. Starting in 26, we'll have our missions conference. And then after that, have a missions conference every year and some type of booster or mission Sunday or two in between to keep missions before us. Just like Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, we'll read our letters. We're going to go another step further in getting involved with the heartbeat of God. And that's missions and making sure that every community in America, every place in the world that we can't do it alone, but we can do our part to make sure the gospel is being preached. All right, don't forget, choir practice this afternoon at 4:15. Choir, again, thank you so much for the beautiful performance and ministry of helping us worship. Brother Cantata, those who were involved in acting, did a wonderful job, and already want to check some boxes to get some of those involved again for the next cantata. And, of course, our evening service tonight at 6, again, it'll be about missions. Brother Frank Frausto, Jr., a missionary to South Africa, will be with us. We've been supporting him and his family for several years. And then, gentlemen, on our coffee fellowship on Tuesday morning, I got a passage of Scripture for you. It's going to be a free-for-all. I'm not going to give you a topic. Just anything in there that stands out to you in this passage of Scripture is what we'll have to talk about. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verses 2 through 6. Mark 5, 2 through 6 for our coffee fellowship on Tuesday morning. And, of course, Wednesday night, our midweek prayer and Bible study at 6:30. And then, of course, Christmas Eve service. This week on Wednesday is our Wednesday night service, Christmas Eve service. And then our Women of Prayer, the last Monday of the month, and our New Year's Eve, also this year falls on a Wednesday. We'll be having three, maybe four men from Harvest speaking, giving testimonies, sharing, challenging from the scripture, and that will be on New Year's Eve. We have at least four men. And then we'll hopefully, Lord willing, we will be having not a business meeting, but a financial report next Sunday night to give us an idea if we can get everything in order. If not, we'll push it to the 4th. But on January the 4th, unless we can do it on the 28th, because I want to have that backup date, we'll be having our new budget established. We may go ahead and wait to do it on the 4th after the financial report. So please put that in your calendar. So the next two Sunday nights, one a financial report and one for the new budget. And as we move forward and prepare for the new year, and of course, any budget that passes will go back to the January the 1st of 2026 as needed. All right, I think that's all the announcements that I have tonight, Brother Sam. Let me ask one question real quick before we take up our tithes and offering this morning. Of course, you'll be getting some information today and through the next several weeks, I'll be trying to help you understand better. But how many would raise your hand just real quick and say, Pastor, I've never been a part of a church or I've never been and attended a missions conference before? Would you raise your hand? So we've got a few. Okay, nothing's wrong with that. Well, good. Good. That means you'll learn some things from the scriptures, what the Bible has to say, have an opportunity to rub shoulders with some missionaries. As I mentioned, we'll have two families in today. We'll have two to four in April, and looking forward to that. If you have any questions, you feel free to ask me, and we want to make sure you fully understand what we're doing and our motives and why we do what we do, and I think you'll enjoy it. I know Michelle and I, before we went into missions ourselves, Michelle grew up a missionary kid. Her dad was a pastor for a while, surrendered to missions. They went to the mission field. But as a young married couple in our early marriage and in the military and the later in Bible college, our favorite time of the year was missions. We just love. So there's no surprise that the Lord called us to the mission field. But let me give you a little help here. Just because you love missions doesn't mean God's going to call you the mission field, all right? You can love missions and you can love missionaries, and I have to think, oh, am I going to have to go to the mission field? No. But God still calls families, young and old, to go to the mission field. But I think it is the very heartbeat of God, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. And I think you'll say after the conference is over, if you're able to be here, that you enjoyed it and that you'll already be looking forward to the next missions conference. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on our tithes and offerings this morning. Our brother John Draper, please pray for us.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for being our God. Lord, we pray that your blessing upon the service, lift up our pastor, and thank you for those that are here today to hear your word. Father, this morning we pray for this ministry, that for our tithes and offerings, Lord, that they be received and blessed. We ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. As we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer, please remember your pastor, of course, and these men and our church in general. Pray that God will bless us and continue to work and do a work that only he can do through his servants. Let's go ahead before the Lord and let's pray together. Father, as we come before thy throne today, we are so grateful for the privilege and opportunity to gather together, Lord, not just to worship and to sing and to enjoy the preaching and teaching and especially music, Father, but that opportunity we have to come before thy throne. Thank you for the word where the epistles tells us that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And Father, as we approach your throne this morning, we do ask that you would do something that only you can do in our lives, individually, as well as together as a church family, as friends and family. Father, I pray that you would be with our men, that you put a hedge about them, Father, protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress. Pray that you protect and guard their eyes, their minds, their ears, Father, and help them to be prepared and a ready servant to serve you in home and in your community and here at church. Father, we thank you for our ladies and young people, our church here at ministry. Lord, what a blessing it is to have our ladies who labor, Lord, so often behind the scenes with little to no recognition, only because they desire to serve you and they love you and they love their church family. We pray that your blessings upon them. Father, bless our nursery workers, our children's church workers. Father, those men that are providing security and safety around the premises, Lord, during our services. We are so grateful for the many who have a heart to serve, and we pray that you continue to bless them. Father, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. May today be their day of salvation. Father, may be folks here that are saved and looking for a place to serve, a place to be involved where the Lord, where you would have them to serve. I pray that you speak to their heart about being a part of our church family and getting in and helping us to serve and to minister to one another as well as to our community. And then now, Father, we also pray this morning that you would be with our missionary, our friend, Brother Steve Thornton, as he comes here in a few moments after the special music to break the bread of life, to preach and to challenge us from God's word about missions and giving the missions and how we can be used to make a difference in carrying the gospel, not just here where we live, but around the world. Father, bless with us, meet with us. And Father, again, we ask that you do what only you can do. And we ask this in the precious, wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen. Brother John Cherry comes and sings for us. Right after he sings, Brother Steve Thornton, a longtime missionary to South America, now working and helping churches struggling, which is also in my heart because we did that for almost 8 years, Michelle and I, before y'all folks talked us into being your pastor. And no, the Lord led us to do that, as you asked. But you know what I mean. And we're glad to be here. But I pray that you pray for Brother Thornton and those you're visiting for the first time in a long time. Please come back if you haven't heard me preach, to hear me preach as well. And those of you looking for a church home, we will continue to pray for you. We'll be happy to answer, meet with you, have any questions you may have about our ministry and what we're doing. But today, we'll show you a little bit of what we feel is a heartbeat of God and a heartbeat of harvest, and that is missions and reaching the world for Christ. So get your Bibles ready, prepare for the preaching of thy word. And before that, Brother John Cherry is going to come and bless us with a song. Long live
us in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need. To weakness is no
with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, please, this morning. We want to thank you for everything you've done for us since we've been here. Also, what you've done for us through the years, praying and giving in your bulletin. Brother Ken put our last letter in there showing what's going on. You all know that we were in Argentina for 33 years, and we got a chance to go back for 3 weeks in October, November, and the Lord showed what he's doing. We were in four churches that our men that we trained are pastoring. The fourth one doesn't have a building. They just meet out under the sun and the stars at night. But we had 43 on Sunday morning and 70 on Wednesday night out there in the rural area of northern Argentina, where one of our guys is pastoring two churches. And so, and then we got to preach at the Church Planters Conference that Lord allowed me to start about 8 years ago, and it's going great. And so, again, harvest is a part of that. Even though we are no longer in Argentina, fruit is still abounding to your account because you were faithful in praying and giving to a missionary that God sent to Argentina. And then also in the letter shows about the last church we helped up in Wyoming for 3.5 months. That was without a pastor for 1.5 years. Praise the Lord. Today, a 27-year-old pastor is preaching to them at this very time. And so that's great. And the church is growing again, which is a blessing because it was going downhill fast. And so praise God that he brought in a young man that's got energy, all right, and that he's out knocking doors and just trying to do what God wants him to do. And they love, him and his wife both love being in cold, windy Wyoming, okay? It's better for him than me, so, you know. But again, you have been a part of that. And whatever happens there, understand this, fruit abounding to your account. All right. We're celebrating Christmas at this time of the year. And you know, Christmas is about giving. From the very beginning, the focus of Christmas was giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Where's that found? John 3:16. That was the verse that God used to blow me away and get me saved. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, his very best, to die on the cross for our sins. That he might give us the free gift of salvation. Huh? That's what it's all about. That first Christmas, Jesus came, you understand this, he came to die on the cross. That's why he came. He came to pay the price for our salvation so that we could have the free gift of salvation. And can I tell you this? If salvation is the only thing that we get from God, it's enough. Okay? All of our sins forgiven. Instead of going to hell, we're going to heaven. And we are the children of God. And one day we will be with him in paradise forever. If that's the only thing that he gives us, it's enough. But you know, we have a good and gracious Heavenly Father who always goes above and beyond what we could even think. All right? And this morning I want to talk to you about faith, promise, missions, giving. All right? Sometimes people get, well, giving, ooh. You know, I don't have a problem with that anymore. I don't have a problem with preaching and teaching on giving. You know, that was Jesus' number one subject, stewardship was. Talking about money. If you look at it, he talked about money more than he did heaven and hell. So if it was important to Jesus, it should be important to you and I. And a lot of people don't know what faith, promise, missions, giving is all about, okay? I got saved in July 1st, 1978, and the church I got saved in practiced faith, promise, missions, giving. And from that time on, every church that I have been a part of, we have practiced faith, promise, missions, giving. And here's what I've seen over the years. Churches that practice faith, promise, missions, giving give more than those that don't, okay? And faith, promise, missions, giving is this, is that I've always told our churches 30 days before our missions conference, be praying and asking God what he wants you to give every week, 2 weeks, every month, however you get paid for the next year. Faith, promise, missions, giving. Faith, okay, the simplest form of faith that I can give you is this. God, when God says something, we obey. When God says something, we obey. Hebrews chapter 11, James, okay, teaches us that. Promise is that we make God a promise. When God shows you, and listen, can I tell you this? If you are sincere, the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you, he will tell you the amount to give every week or every 2 weeks or every month, however you get paid, to missions for a year. He will, if you are sincere. Now, if you're not sincere, it'll just be emotions or whatever. But if you're sincerely wanting to know what God wants you to give out of his resources, because it all belongs to him anyway, right? Okay? The Bible says it all belongs to him. It's not ours. We have been bought with a price, okay? And we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, okay? If we're sincere, he will show us what to give. And when he shows us what to give, can I tell you this? Sometimes it's going to shock us. All right? I just want to throw this out there. Sometimes the amount that God shows us that he wants us to give to missions will shock us, and we will think, whoa, I'm not sure I can do that. If God told you to do it, he will make it possible for you to do it, okay? And then you just promise him, God, I have no idea how this is going to happen, but you've laid this amount on my heart. I'm going to give it for the next year. I promise you that I will give that for my missions offering for the next year. And I want to show you this faith principle in action this morning. And it's not based on the amount of money you have. Somebody, well, if I had $1 million, I would do this or I would do that. No, it's based on what you have right now. Generosity is not based on the amount that we give. It's who we are on the inside. Okay? The poor Macedonian Christians of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 shows us that. They were very generous, but they were dirt poor. Okay? But they gave what God wanted them to give. Okay? And here in 1 Kings chapter 17, look with me if you would, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called unto her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Help us to see this morning that you are faithful, that you are our Heavenly Father, and that you do want to take care of us. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to do everything in our Christian walk according to your will, including our giving to missions. And I'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want you to see her situation, okay? This widow woman's situation, okay? She is gathering a couple sticks. She's got a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. She's going to make a little tiny, not even a regular cake. For her and her son, they're going to eat it, and they're going to die of starvation. Because there's a famine in the land, all right? That's her situation. And can I tell you, folks, God knew her situation. That's why God sent to her Elijah, his man, okay, with his message. He knew her situation, okay? He knows your situation. He knows our circumstances. He knows what we're going through. He knows our economy, right? God is not limited by the economy of a country, all right? Argentina, last year, 258% inflation. We've had more than 1,000% inflation before in Argentina. But can I tell you this? Every year in our churches, our people increased their faith promise missions offering. And you might say, well, how in the world did they do it? They must have got big raises. Nope. They did not. And they don't get to claim what they give to the church on their taxes either. Okay? But they did know that their Father takes care of them. So every year when we came around to missions promise time, they increased their faith promise missions offering. God knows our situation. The second thing I want you to see is Elijah's request. Now, I can tell Elijah's a Baptist, okay? Because look at this request, verse 10. At the end of the verse, he says, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." That's reasonable, okay? That's reasonable, all right? But look at verse 11. "And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand.'" He was asking her for more than she had. If you study out this passage, he was asking her for more than what she had. Okay? Her situation was that they were getting ready to die of starvation. Elijah's request, he's asking her for more than what she had. And we might say, well, humanly speaking, that is unreasonable. That is an unreasonable request. But you know what? It was just a test. Okay? Can I tell you this? Usually before blessing, there's testing of our faith. Remember, faith, God says something, we obey. I've heard a lot of people, I'm sure Pastor Cook has too, I've had people in my church say, "Pastor, I just can't afford to tithe." And you know what my response always is? You cannot afford not to tithe. Because, man, when you don't tithe, you're not going to get the blessings of God. You're going to get the discipline of God. Okay? "Well, I don't think I can give to missions." Yes, you can, because God commands us. If you study the Bible out, God commands us to give. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19, if you study that scripture. The Philippian church was in the province of Macedonia. They were dirt poor. But they gave to the missionary Paul. Okay, Paul was a church planting missionary, all right? And they gave to Paul. 2 Corinthians, Paul used the Macedonian Christians as an example for the Corinthian Christians who had money, okay? He said, hey, they're dirt poor, but they begged us to allow them to participate in the offering. Can you imagine that? Dirt poor people begging the preacher, "Please, you've got to allow us to participate in this offering." You do that to your pastor, he'll end up in the hospital with a heart attack. Okay? But they were begging the Apostle Paul to allow them the privilege, it says, to participate in the offering. Huh? God's getting ready to do something here, folks. God never asks us to do anything that he's not going to do something great in our lives. All right? Elijah's request, give me something more than what you really have. And you know, can I tell you this? Every once in a while, God's going to do that to us in our faith promise missions offering. Okay? Whoa. But God always, always, always takes care of us. The third thing I want you to see is God's promise in verses 13 and 14. Okay, he says this, and she says, "Hey, I don't have anything. We're getting ready to die, and all this stuff." And Elijah said to her, "Fear not." That phrase, fear not. Faith, fear, they don't go together. Okay? Faith and fear cannot go together. Okay? "Fear not," he says, "and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." Folks, give God first. Your tithes and offerings ought to be the first thing that comes out of your paycheck. Okay? Give it to God first. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay? Seek God first. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. That's the important phrase right there. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Elijah's just the messenger. Us preachers, we are just the messengers. The important thing is always, what does God say? And Elijah says, thus saith the Lord, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. That's God's promise to her. And really, that's why God sent Elijah to her. God wanted to provide for her. God did not want her and her son to die. God wanted to supply for her. And folks, it's the same way with us, but you know what? Sometimes it depends on us too. Okay? Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your needs. And that's just not financial needs. Because a lot of times we have emotional, mental, physical needs also, okay? But that verse 19, that's in the context of giving to missions. If you're not giving to missions, that promise is not for you. I'm sorry. That promise was given to those participating in the missions offering, okay? Matthew 6:33, I've already said it, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What things? All of our needs. Listen, folks, our Father gives us promises, and he will fulfill every one. We just need to believe in God's promises, because he will take care of us. Now, this lady, this widow woman, has a decision to make. And can I tell you this? We're so much advanced because we have the Word of God written in our hands. She did not have this passage of Scripture written for her, okay? She was living it. Moment by moment, she was living it, okay? So God sends his messenger to her with a request that seemed to be, humanly speaking, unreasonable. But then God gives her a promise that if she will do it, give his man the first part, if she would do that, then he promises that he will take care of her and her son for many days, which is about a year, okay? Now she has a decision to make. Am I going to keep going by natural eyesight, natural intelligence, or am I going to believe what God says? There's a lot of Christians that, you know what they say? I believe the Bible, but they're walking in disobedience. That's not faith. That's, oh, ye of little faith. Because real faith, it's when God says something like he says right here, we obey. Her response, okay, or her faith. Her faith, verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Boom. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. What? She went and made a cake, gave it to Elijah first, then she went back and she made it for her and her son. Okay? And really, can I tell you, it was not the saying of Elijah. It was God speaking through Elijah. So what she was doing, she was showing her faith in what God had said and promised, and she went and she obeyed what God told her to do through his prophet, Elijah. And look at the end of that verse 15. And she and he and her house did eat many days, over a year. Woo! God's provision. Boom. God's promise. It's there. All right? But it was based on her faith. It was based on if she was willing to believe the promise that God gave her and act on it. And folks, when it comes to faith, promise, missions, giving, God promises if we will give what he lays on our heart to give, he will supply our every need. The thing is, do we believe it? Do we believe the promises that God gives us? And will we act upon it? Or will we try to sit down and figure out all the numbers and try to give what we think we can give? She gave more than what she was able to give. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, those poor Macedonian Christians, they gave beyond and above what they were able to. If you read that scripture, verses 1 through 8, they gave more than what was humanly possible. You might say, well, how in the world did they do that? Same way here, God entered in. God entered in. When was the last time God entered in to your life and allowed you to do more than what you are humanly capable of doing? That's when you know that the only answer is God. All right, 1983, our daughter was born. Woohoo! Big time, huh? I lost my job. We started our first church. I was working a full-time job. I lost my job. Oh, man. At the end of the year, we did all the numbers like, you know, a lot of people do. And here's what we figured out. We were able to pay all of our bills, even though that amount of money did not come in. Hey! But when I lost my job, you know what? We had already done a Faith Promise Missions conference, and we had promised God, you know, because he laid it on our hearts, we're going to give so much every week to Faith Promise Missions. We kept doing that. Now, since I wasn't working, what was my tithe? Zero. Okay? But my faith promise, we were still giving, okay? Now, we were eating government cheese, you know, those blocks of cheese. You know, Pam learned how to make, you know, cheese for breakfast, cheese for lunch, cheese for dinner, in many different ways, you know? And then on December the 24th, I love this story. God gave me the best job I've ever had, working for the United States Post Office. Making more money than I'd ever made, okay? They promised me 4 hours a week. That's all they would promise me. From the get-go, I was working over 40-plus holidays, double time. Amen, praise Jesus, okay? Why am I saying all this? God, the last point, God's faithfulness. God is faithful, okay? God will take care of us, all right? God will take care. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. To then love him and keep his commandments. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments, okay? 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom ye are called unto fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Lord. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Our God is always faithful. And he's always on time. Can I tell you that? Now, it might not be according to our time frame. I've experienced that a lot, okay? It might not be according to our time frame, but God is always faithful and in time, all right? He knows when to give it to us. But he will not give to unfaithful children. He will not bless disobedient children. He's not like a lot of parents are today, okay? A lot of parents today, their kids are acting disobedient, hitting mom and dad, and some of them cussing mom and dad, and mom and dad keeps blessing them, okay? Our God is not like that. Hebrews chapter 12 teaches us that, okay? If we are disobedient, he will take out the Board of Education, all right? And he knows how to apply the Board of Education. But you know what he wants to do? He wants to bless us. He truly does. He loves us, and he wants to bless us. Now, I'm not saying he wants to make us rich, okay? I'm not into that. But I am into this. If we do what he wants us to do, and we are obedient, and we are walking according to his will, he will take care of us. All right? In that year, 1983, we saw that. And can I tell you this? If the United States government says, hey, tomorrow you no longer can claim what you give to the church on your taxes, we will still give. Okay? Because you see, our giving, well, I'm not giving to get a tax break. I'm giving to obey my Heavenly Father. I'm not giving to get from God either, which a lot of people are teaching, which is a little bit of covetousness, okay? I'm giving because I love him. Love should be our motivation for giving. Why do I give the Faith Promise missions? Okay, and we do it through our local church in Ashtabula, Ohio. Why? Because God wants us to. And I want to because I love him. After all these years, I do it because I know who my God is. And I know my God will take care of me. And I know this, I cannot outgive my God. I cannot outgive my God. That's why I say to people that say, I can't afford to, you cannot afford not to. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his. If you're not giving according to his will, you will not be blessed. But I will say this, a church not giving according to God's will not be blessed. It's amazing to me that there's churches that don't give to missions. It blows me away when this Bible is full of missions, okay? Let me ask you this. Even you that are giving to missions, did you really ask him what to give? Did you really take time to seek his face and ask him what he wants you to give? If not, I would encourage you, hey, you need to do it. Because you may not be giving what he wants you to give. I've seen a lot of Christians get in trouble by following their emotions and give more than what God wanted them to give, and they ended up in financial disaster. I've seen others give because of what they thought they could give and gave, and they weren't giving as much as God wanted them to, and neither one of them were blessed. But if you give what God wants you to give, he is faithful. And he will fulfill his promise to supply your every need. Now, not when we get to heaven, now. The greatest thing of participating in Faith Promise missions is not the fruit abounding to our account. It's knowing I'm doing the will of God. the one who sent his son to die on the cross for me, the one who forgave me of all my sins, the one who made me his child, I am walking according to his will. Are you giving by faith? Are you giving what God really told you to give to missions? Let's all stand, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Just a minute. We're going to have an invitation. Marlene's going to play this invitation song. And maybe you need to come and say, God, what do you want me to give? Maybe you're here, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, and you need to come and say, hey, I need someone to tell me how I can become a child of God. And maybe you're here and all this is new to you, and maybe you need to come and say, God, how do you want me to get involved in missions? Father, thank you so much for each one that's here, their attentiveness to your word. And I pray that your message will resonate in each heart, and that they will see how great you are, how much you love them, and how that you want to take care of them. Help them to give to missions exactly what you want them to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. What's God want you to do this morning? What decision do you need to come and say, God, here am I, send me. I'm willing to be a missionary if you want me to be one. If you want me to stay here, I'm willing to do that. God, am I giving what you want me to give? Show me. And again, folks, if you're sincere, he will show you. Preacher.
Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. And just ask you to take a moment just to pray and consider what God would have you to do in reference to missions. About praying, not just about giving your finances, but about praying for missions. About being an encouragement to one of our missionaries that we do support via a letter or an email. What God would have you do about missions is just going here to your neighbor across the street, down the road, to the young person that works the cash register at the grocery store or at the convenience store, how you can invite them, tell them of Christ, invite them to church. Missions is more than just giving of our finances, but it's being involved ourselves. And clear, we'll be dismissed in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to do something. If you have your bulletin, if you will pick it up and open it up, there should be a prayer sheet inside of it. For those of you who are visiting with us or have been attending here recently and aren't familiar, this on that sheet. One side it says prayer requests, but if you look on the back, it has a list of missionaries that we support. Just want to give you a real quick, just take a moment. I know you're standing. We have a word of prayer. Presently, this money that we're talking about giving above our tithe and offering goes to missions, and we're going to establish a mission, a philosophy, as well as directive for our missions giving and our missions program. But we have 22 missionaries that we support. South Africa, the Philippines, Canada, West Africa, Thailand, again, South Africa, our U.S. military in Japan, Indonesia, let's see here, it's Bolivia, the Netherlands, Australia, Ethiopia, Mexico, Argentina as well. We still have a missionary there, the Ness family over in Window Rock here in our state. We have, again, Japan to the national people, not the military. We have one in the military and one to the nationals. Leslie Priday in Honduras, Cambodia, the Sterlings church planting in Montana, the Thorntons, who shepherds care ministry here stateside, the Lance family in Brazil, and the Prudentino family in the Philippines. This is where our missions monies go to. This is why we have letters that we read Sunday night and Wednesday night and have their pictures and give a report of what they're doing. We give the missions for one reason. For people to hear about Christ. for people to get saved, for churches to be established. That's why we give the missions. And I also want to put an emphasis in this new year about more church planting. We do have a church planter now, Brother the Sterling family, and there's some others that will be coming. I think it's important that we establish churches in the area, and I'd like to have a church planter that's going to start a church here in Arizona as well. There's a great importance. So these is how we can give to missions. We can pray for these missionaries that we support right now. We can pray for other missionaries that we want to have come in and present their ministry. We can pray for other missionaries that we know and we meet and church planters, and we can give financially to help them to perform the task that they're doing. And we can also go hand out tracts and invite our friends, family, and neighbors to church. All of that is centered around missions. And being involved in Harvest Baptist Church, having a ministry, is also a form of serving and ministering in missions as we go right here and pray and give so others can go somewhere else. So if you have any questions, again, please do not hesitate to ask. Brother Frausto will be with us tonight with a fresh new ministry and approach, and give us an update on what's going on in South Africa, as well as a challenge again tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And again, as always, remember that God loves you, His preacher loves you. If I can be helped in any way, please do not hesitate to ask.